KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
Is the threat of Agenda 21 over? Is it just belonging to those who are conspiracy theorists? Ladies and gentlemen, the choices that voters will make this November will have a great impact on a number of policies and positions taken by our nation. What's going to happen with the Green New Deal? Will it be implemented or shunned? What will be the position toward what some refer to as global climate change? What about the Climate Equity Act, the Clean Water Act, the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Rule, UN Treaty, Sustainable Development, Agenda 21, and Agenda 2030? What about private property rights? And the list goes on. Are you thinking about things, about these very things? If not, you ought to be, because whoever is elected as president in the November 3rd election will have a huge impact on these varied but very connected issues. Joining us today, we welcome Tom DeWeese, president of American Policy Center. Tom is one of the nation's leading advocates of individual liberty, free enterprise, private property rights, personal privacy, back-to-basics education, and American sovereignty and independence, and protecting our constitutionally guaranteed rights. He's the author of Sustainable, The War on Free Enterprise, Private Property and Individuals, and Erase, a political novel. Tom, so good to have you back with us on Crosstalk.
Good to be with you, Jim. I really appreciate it.
We'll get into an update on so many of these areas, but Tom, we're just 77 days away from this next election. The matters really are quite critical, are they not?
Well, they absolutely are. I mean, we are witnessing a revolution going on in this country. And, as you know, I have fought, you know, for over 25 years against the Agenda 21 and what they called a comprehensive blueprint to reorganize human society. We've been trying to expose this, and people, you know, we've been labeled conspiracy theorists, and I've gotten a lot of tinfoil hats and all that kind of thing. But what we're witnessing with this revolution that's taking place is they are coming out of the woodwork with all of the things we've been warning about over all these years. Top-down control, control of where you live, how you live, what your jobs will be, energy use, even the food you are able to have, how many children you can have sometimes becomes part of it. On and on and on. This is coming out of the woodwork in every direction now. And what's amazing to me is I've watched the pandemic and the lockdowns, how they have achieved so many of the goals of Agenda 21 under the threat of the pandemic. You know, they're celebrating that we are using less energy because people are traveling less, and you know, of course, controlling you know how we move about and what we do. So.
And I've actually heard those in positions of authority, whether it be like mayors, governors, et cetera, saying, hey, we find that we're going to continue any of these things even after coronavirus. You know, well, we're going to be facing influenza season, and some of these things we've implemented, we're just going to continue on.
I've intercepted a whole lot of communications among these guys, these NGO groups and some of these global organizations that are literally saying what we're learning from the pandemic, the tactics of that will work now with climate change. And the World Health Organization said we have to flatten the climate curve.
My.
That's the new line. And the Brookings Institute has you know, said that the Sustainable Development Goals can help cities focus COVID-19 recovery on inclusion, equality, and sustainability. On and on and on. It's just morphing together. There's actually a candidate running for the state legislature in Colorado who is a radical environmentalist who said that the pandemic has proven that we can afford the Green New Deal.
My.
So on
my.
And on it goes.
Well, Tom, I'd like to begin here today with what you sent out recently indicating there was a victory on the Affirmatively Furthering Fair Housing Rule, or the AFFH. Just take a moment to explain what this AFFH is and what was the victory you're talking about.
Well, what it is, it was an executive order that Obama put in place before he left office, affirmatively furthering fair housing. And what it meant was if a community was applying for a HUD grant, then in order to qualify for that, they had a whole string of things they had to do. And some of the things that were incorporated in that were that they had to assess every single neighborhood, looking at contributing factors for discrimination, to break down every neighborhood by race, income levels, religion, national origin, everybody who lives there. And then they had to submit this in their grant proposals. Well, HUD would look at that, and they would decide whether the community was out of balance or not. But they never said what they used to decide what's out of balance and what's in balance. But they would tell the communities, you've got to provide for us a plan of how you're going to rectify this out-of-balance situation. And I heard reports, there were some communities that just did not have enough minorities in their communities to qualify, and so they were literally advertising in other communities saying, please come here, we need you to be in balance.
Wow.
The insanity of it, yeah.
Well, so what's the victory that took place?
Well, finally, we've been pressuring Ben Carson and Donald Trump to get rid of this thing. And, Ben Carson has been absolutely under siege by all of the non-governmental organizations, the sustainable groups, all the people behind this. He was dragging his feet on it, trying not to implement much of it, but he was really being pressured to keep this thing in place. And finally, just a couple of weeks ago, Donald Trump announced that they were dropping this, that it was no longer going to be. I mean, he was rescinding the executive order from Obama. So that was huge.
Now, Tom, I've got to point out that this may be temporary because Joe Biden, he's running on a reinstated, even beefed up AFFH rule. We understand he wants to incorporate Senator Cory Booker's proposal to make federal surface transportation grants to communities contingent on their compliance with this federal inclusive zoning mandates.
Yeah, and what they're working to do is eliminate single-family home zoning protections in neighborhoods and communities across the country. Minneapolis was the first to do that. It was done in Chicago. It was done in Baltimore, and Oregon became the first state to pass a law, basically getting rid of single-family home zoning protections. And first of all, what we're talking about here are people's homes, people who have worked hard in their lives and they've invested their money into having a home. And what do you get from that? You get equity. This is a way that individuals build personal wealth. This is the reason why the United States became one of the wealthiest nations on earth in a very, very short period of time, private property ownership. What a lot of people don't realize is that a lot of the businesses that were started in this country that employed a lot of people were started by people using the equity in their homes for the investment to pay for starting the business. And what we're looking at now with this AFFH rule and with this getting rid of the zoning, what they're talking about is no longer having single-family homes. They'll say things like, you could put 100 families in that backyard that you have because we can put building high-rises in there, these smart growth stack and pack that you're seeing come up everywhere. This is about expanding that. More and more people living in the center of town and fewer people living in the outskirts and single-family homes disappearing.
And, Tom, one of the things we hear about, and it's one of the goals of a Biden administration, they want to eliminate what they call sprawl. And the word sprawl is said in such a way that it's meant to be something really bad. Your thoughts on this sprawl?
Yeah. Yeah, they've been saying this for a long time, sprawl, sprawl. If you have sprawl, you have to spend more money for infrastructure. We have to have more roads. It means more people are going to be driving their car, and we're going to use more energy, and oh, goodness, the CO2 and all of that to the global warming. That's been the argument for it all along. The fact of the matter is that people try to move out of these cities where things are run under higher taxes, much more inefficient, a lot of crime. People want to get away from that, and they want to buy a home out in the suburbs where their kids can play, where they can breathe fresh air. And what happens then is infrastructure gets built. It's new tax dollars are coming in to build that, and shopping malls spring up. What happens in shopping malls? They don't only just serve people, they provide jobs. That's how you build an economy. And Portland, Oregon was the poster child of smart growth to stop all of this.
My.
Take a good look at Portland right now.
Look what's going on there. And Tom, I can't, how can we get away from this, the hypocritical nature of all this? I mean, we've got lawmakers today, we've got health departments shouting from the rooftop, social distance, you must have social distance, physical distancing, yet these are the same people who are wanting to compact the population closer and closer together.
Isn't that an interesting situation? The very thing that they say is causing all of this is part of their policies, putting it in place. It's all hypocrisy, and it has absolutely nothing to do with health, and it has nothing to do with environmental protection. It is about control. The people living in the rural areas are much more self-sufficient, can take care of themselves, and that is a real danger to the people who are promoting these policies, and they want to herd you off the rural areas into the cities where they can control the energy that you use, control the transportation that you have, that is what this is really about, and now we're looking at many, many other programs to absolutely watch every single thing you do, and the money that you spend, and who lives there. The smart meters and that sort of thing, they can tell how many people live in your home, what your practices are on energy use, and all kind of things. So every little thing, there's no personal privacy whatsoever left with all these policies in place.
Tom, there was another executive order signed by former President Obama to create the Stewardship of the Seas that President Trump has also rescinded. What was that about?
For one thing, we have fought since Jesse Helms was in the Senate, fighting the Law of the Sea Treaty. This was designed to give the United Nations control over all the seas in the world. And what this would do, it would control the fishing industry, it would control boating, it would control any kind of exploration for oil, things like that. And Jesse Helms fought it when he was in the Senate, and we defeated it. It has never been ratified by the United States. But one of the things, these sustainabilists never stop. Mm-hmm. They never get defeated in anything they do. They just find another tactic, change the wording, whatever. And what this executive order was about, they began to take note of the fact that lakes, rivers, streams flow into the ocean. Well, that's part of this. We can help control all of this by controlling all the waterways in the country. And so that's one of the things that this executive order was designed to do.
Tom DeWeese, our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is president of the American Policy Center, their website, AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. Well, we'll take a quick break, and folks, we're going to come back, and we've got a number of issues to talk about in the next segment, including those who are saying, hey, don't worry about this Agenda 21. It's not really something that's out there. It is just a conspiracy theory. Well, we're going to talk about some of the issues going on. Back in a minute, you're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about Neanderthal man?
Chris, from a biblical perspective, Neanderthal man was a human just like me or you. They evidently were an ethnic group that migrated away from Babel, living in very harsh conditions, but were human nonetheless. Archaeological discoveries have shown that they used agriculture, they buried their dead, they had art, musical instruments, they were humans just like me and you. Those who assigned them to subhuman categories suggested that they didn't have the right kind of hands to use tools. But a recent study has shown that they had thumb and forefingers just like ours, with just as much dexterity. In every sense, they were as human as you and me, descendants of Noah, souls for whom Christ died. going back to Genesis makes all the data fit so well.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest today, president of American Policy Center. And today we're asking the question about the threat of Agenda 21. Is it over? Is it done? Is it put on the ash heap of history? Well, Tom, as you know, people in various levels of government indicate that Agenda 21, it's not a threat, just a conspiracy theory. You've heard that over and over, that the plans that we are making here are local plans. They're not any part of any worldwide agenda conspiracy. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, this is what I've faced all these years, and my favorite line is there are no blue-helmeted troops at City Hall. The Agenda 21 has no enforcement capability, and they've used that against us over and over and over again. Truth of the matter is, it's what is called a soft law policy. It was not a treaty that had to be ratified by the U.S. Senate, as normal would be done. So it is a suggestion. But what changed that argument was when Bill Clinton became president, he signed an executive order to create the President's Council on Sustainable Development. And the purpose of that council was to take the suggestions of Agenda 21 and make them federal policy. And on that council were representatives of nearly every agency of the federal government. The NGOs, a whole bunch of them, the Sierra Club, the Nature Conservancy, the World Wildlife Fund, others, were on this committee and on the President's Council. And what happened were those NGOs helped write the grant programs from HUD and EPA and Department of Transportation and others, and they put in the small print, be in compliance with these, that you had to do certain. It was Agenda 21 being put in place. Then you have also on that council were global corporations, including Enron, by the way, and what they have done. They create these public-private partnerships, and you're witnessing it today. What is happening with the pandemic with these public-private partnerships? First of all, the global corporations get all kinds of tax breaks. They get to go to the front of the line for any government goodies. They get preference on where to put their businesses. You've watched under the pandemic who gets to stay open and who doesn't. Mm-hmm. Little mom-and-pop shops aren't allowed to open, but the global corporations can. And government gets to hide behind their advertising. They're using their advertising budgets to promote the propaganda of these programs. And you're seeing it very clearly now with the pandemic, but it also with the sustainable development issues and so forth. That was the President's Council on Sustainable Development, and this is how they created, took the suggestions of Agenda 21 and made them federal policy.
And you are still working, Tom, to actually have this executive order, I believe it was number 12852, that created this President's Council, to have that rescinded as well.
Anything that's still sitting there that's a possibility of, if Biden wins this election, it could well be brought back up and put into place. It's not active at the moment, but when they're sitting there like mm-hmm. this, they have got to be taken care of, and you can't just let that bombshell just kind of sit there and tick,
Right. Tom DeWeese with us today. Now, Tom, you've indicated that there are six issues that are rarely connected to Agenda 21 and sustainable development, yet their policies very much are a part of implementing Agenda 21. And the first one is global warming and climate change. We're told we're destroying the Earth. Your comments about this first issue.
Well, this is the tactic that they use. I've said many times that when you have a force that wants to take over the world, usually they bring in armies and they kill people and they break things to subjugate people. And this time they came up with a plan to not only, they could take control of the world, but they get the people they're going to subjugate to help them do it. And what would be this such a strong message that they could do that. What they came up with was a threat of environmental Armageddon. I've had him say to me many times, it doesn't matter how many rights you think you have if you don't have a planet to stand on. So the scare tactic that they have created to put all this in place has been climate change. And they have said in many, many cases, it doesn't matter if this is even real or if it is a real threat. It's the right thing for us to do. In other words, this is what's going to get people to follow us no matter what we do. And that's why we have debunked this. There are 35,000 scientists that have signed a document saying, no, I find no evidence of this. There are lots of scientists who used to agree with this and did their own experiments and found, no, I don't find anything of it. They keep saying 97% of scientists are with us. There aren't even 97 scientists that are really in this. And but they won't let go of it because this is the most powerful weapon they've got.
Yep. You're a science denier.
There I am.
Let's move on to issue number two, and we're going to kind of do a survey of these issues. There are six of them. Issue number two is fear of overpopulation.
Yeah, they have been throwing this out that some of the environmental groups have said that the Earth can only support 500,000 people. They have now settled pretty much on 1 billion. That's all the Earth can really support of people, and and as I said in the article, the fact of the matter is you could take the entire population of the world and put it in an area the size of Texas with a population density of Paris, France. And we could live that way. The problem, I've said many times jokingly that if these environmentalists would come out of their high rises in New York City and actually touch the ground, they might know something about the environment. If you're going to live in big populated areas like that, you're going to get worried about overpopulation. Go out in the fields and experience what it looks like.
Sometimes I have a hard time figuring out Bill Gates. He keeps speaking of saving lives. We need vaccinations to save lives. But yet his overall goal is to reduce the population. Somehow my brain just short circuits with this doublespeak.
I know. I mean, and the other thing that he's against is free enterprise. How did he become a billionaire?
Yeah,
he's just swallowed the Kool-Aid here. And
well, that takes us to issue number three, the destruction of the free market system and the redistribution of wealth. Isn't this what the Squad is all about? Isn't this what we've been hearing all the way up the chain to the Secretary General of the United Nations, this redistribution of wealth?
Absolutely. They've clear up through into the UN, free enterprise system has been made the enemy of everything. One of the things they did back in 2012, they had the UN's Rio 20 summit. This was 20 years after Agenda 21. They were promoting the ideal of zero economic growth. And what they mean by that, they look at, they're trying to put together a well-ordered society where everything fits together. And what happens if somebody comes along and develops something that isn't in that well-ordered society and takes off in a different direction? Like, for example, in early days where you ended up, Thomas Edison took us away from candlelight that had been there from almost the beginning of human settlements and brought us electricity into every single home. Then you had Henry Ford create the means for everybody to have automobile transportation. Then you had the Wright brothers who got us in the air. And so what they're determined is we can never again have a Thomas Edison, a Henry Ford, or the Wright brothers to disrupt their well-ordered society. So we'll keep everybody equal. And what that means is equally poor and equally subjugated to all this.
Yeah, and equally controlled.
Yep.
Issue number four, you state, cheap energy is the enemy of the Earth. Now, if there's a change in the presidency, there's going to be a huge impact on our use of natural resources and the whole energy policy. But what about this cheap energy, the enemy of the Earth?
Yeah. Well, this kind of hooks into the whole global warming issue as well. We've got to stop the CO2 emissions from coming out, and when gasoline is cheaper, that means people drive more. And what we see happening here, as we've had fracking policies put in place, and gasoline, you know, for a long time it was hovering around $4 a gallon,
right.
And now it's $2, and that a lot of that has to do with the fracking. Well, what you see state governments doing, and I guess probably some federal policies as well, but particularly in the states, they see that down there, and they say, no, well, we're going to raise gasoline taxes to fill in that gap in there. The idea isn't that they necessarily to get the money. The idea is to get people to stop driving as much as they are. And there's all kind of other policies to discourage you from driving your car. But this is what they mean, that cheap energy is the enemy of the earth because we'll drive more miles and we'll have more emissions, and so we've got to stop that.
And issue number five, Common Core. Now, Tom, the reorganization of the public school issue, it's not separate from Agenda 21, is it?
No, it's not. It's how do you get the people in, you know, the United States was designed as a free society, a free republic, that, you know, government is limited and that you are born with your rights and government's job is to protect them. We're the only nation on earth, basically, there are a few others, but only one basically that has that. Now, how do you get rid of that? We have to change the entire mindset of the people in this country. And so we can't have them learning about free enterprise and private property rights and individual choice and limited government. We have to have a curriculum that promotes the idea of globalism. We're all in this together.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want sovereign nations. We want, you know, one world where we're all in it together and one economy and on and on and on. And that literally is what Common Core is. Another way of saying it, I came up against a few years ago an NGO in the UN called the Eden Foundation, and they advocated something called globally acceptable truth. And I started looking them up because we had this confrontation and find out what they were about. And what they said in their website was the reason we have war and poverty and strife is because there is too much knowledge. People can't grasp it. They can't make their choices in life with all these different things coming at them. So we'll take care of that for them, globally acceptable truth. And the fact is that the academic system, actually our curriculum in school is not based on academics. It literally is based on globally acceptable truth, behavior modification, think this way, think that way. Common Core is the center of that, and what we are seeing today with these kids in the streets and so forth, they are the victims of this, and they truly believe what they're saying because they've had this pounded into their heads in the classroom.
And folks, look what is happening with the schools as of right now. I mean, we've got some that are advocating for doing away of U.S. history, of American history as we know it. We need to redesign history to be taught. We also have a number of teachers who are expressing concern that, with schools going virtual rather than in-classroom instruction, the concern parents might overhear their instruction and object to how they're teaching our children, whether from history to sex education, to gender and other issues. Tom, it's amazing to see the fear that's going on over parents that are helicoptering parents listening to what their children are being taught.
Yeah, they've done everything they can to keep parents out of the classrooms and not know what's going on. And they'll tell kids, don't tell your parents about this. They don't need to be involved in this.
Yeah.
For that.
Let's take a quick break. We've got one more issue here to bring up that is indicative of Agenda 21, that it is very much a threat and what is taking place. We're going to enter the area of health care here after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Tom DeWeese, our guest, president of American Policy Center. Be ready to jot down his web address, and we'll tell you more information about their center after the break.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
Tom DeWeese, our guest here today on Crosstalk. He is president of the American Policy Center. Tom, give us a word about the center, what you're doing there.
The what we're really focusing on right now is working to train local activists on how to stand up in their local community. And we just finished a manual. It's at the printers now. And on Thursday, I'm going to record our first webinar of a series of eight to bring people in to begin to train them on how to stand up to it. If you take a look at everything that's happening right now, the mayors and the governors, the local level, the state level, this is where we are facing the greatest threats to our freedoms. And this is where we need to fight. Too many people focus just on the presidential election, and we need to fight in our local communities to build it from there, and it'll move up.
Those city council seats are important.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Tom, for those who'd like more information about the webinars and other information you have, tell us how to get there.
Our website is AmericanPolicy.org, AmericanPolicy.org. And if you would go in there and just sign up on our emails to get on our list, as soon as we begin to release these and move forward, you'll get a notice on that and know what to do about it. Plus, we also have updates that we put out periodically, every week, some things we put out. And you can also get there. We've got a huge archive of articles, everything we're talking about here. The article we're talking about here is right up there. And so you can get a lot of information. We've got a lot of tools to help people fight back.
AmericanPolicy.org. Tom, we're talking about these six issues rarely connected to Agenda 21 and sustainable development, yet these are the policies that are very much a part of implementing Agenda 21. We talked about global warming. We talked about overpopulation. We talked about the destruction of the free market system. We spoke of the misbelief that cheap energy is the enemy of the earth. We talked about Common Core. And number six on the list is health care. How is health care connected to Agenda 21?
I was honored several years ago to know a lady named Madeline Cosman. She was a doctor, and she spoke out against sustainable medicine. And she pointed out that there were almost 6 million references to sustainable medicine if you Googled it. And these policies, if you read them, became part of Obamacare. And her quote was that sustainable medicine plus sustainable development equals duty to die. And we talked about the population and how they want to reduce the population. Well, how do you get that done? You get control of the healthcare system. And look what we're seeing now today. That I am just appalled by things I'm hearing happening in the healthcare industry, where bureaucratic paperwork is taking over where we used to have doctors, and they're controlled about who they can see and when they can see them and so forth. The pandemic has really proven that. And so this is what we're seeing here, is healthcare controlling who can get healthcare and who can't, what kind of care you can get. Then, you know, this all becomes part of it. And so she was right on top of that 20 years ago, and absolutely true. This is what we're seeing happen.
Tom, we know that there is so much at stake as it relates to the upcoming election. I'm looking right now at a sheet that was printed off from Kamala Harris's website, U.S. Senator for California, and it's on the Climate Equity Act. She said, avoiding the worst consequences of the climate crisis will require the United States to mobilize a full-scale and urgent effort in the form of a Green New Deal, which will end our reliance on fossil fuels and build a clean economy with millions of new jobs. She talks about the environmental laws like Clean Water Act, Clean Air Act. They've had their transforming effect, but they have failed to adequately protect frontline communities from polluted air, toxic water, and more. What break that down. What does this Climate Equity Act really look like here for the United States if this is implemented as envisioned by the potential Vice President Kamala Harris?
Well, first of all, not a single one of those charges is true. And if it is true, it's because of government control. For example, I mentioned Portland, Oregon, the poster child for all this. The first thing they did 20 years ago was to put what they called an urban growth boundary around the city and say no urban sprawl, no growth outside of this boundary. And everything's going to be right inside, and we'll control the energy, we'll control water use, we'll control transportation, on and on and on. And wherever you can walk to work, you can ride your bike to the grocery store, you know, all that stuff. And what has happened in Portland is that the population has grown by 80% since that happened. There was no provision for that when you pulled everybody in there. Now, so what's happening is, as they're, you know, the high rises are getting higher and higher, and they can only go so high, now they have to take the apartments and begin to make them smaller and smaller. One of the big things that you'll hear talked about is these little tiny homes. That this is perfect. This is perfect. Basically, it's a wooden version of a tent, and this is where they want to go with it. This is controlling the masses, and you know, that's what's behind all of it. The in the Green New Deal, the real thing that it stands for, though, and this sounds exactly like the entire Democrat campaign, the right to full employment and ending unemployment by guaranteeing a job of a living wage in a safe workplace empowered by labor unions, and single-payer Medicare, tuition-free education, preschool to college, and the right to affordable housing, and all of that. And they're going to do all these things. Biden, on his website, is we were talking about how he's supporting the getting rid of single-family neighborhoods and all that goes with that. But what's incredible, as I mentioned, that having single-family homes and owning private property is how you build personal wealth. This is from Biden's website. It said, communities of color are disproportionately impacted by the failures in our housing markets, with home ownership rates for black and Latino individuals falling below the rate of white individuals. Now get this, because home ownership is how many families save and build wealth, these racial disparities in home ownership contribute to the racial wealth gap. They're using that very fact, but, you know, for yes. the exact opposite reason. So then they start to talk about stable, safe, and healthy neighborhoods, and located near good schools with a reasonable commute to their jobs and everything. All this is control. The only way to achieve what they're talking about is these smart growth stack and pack neighborhoods where everybody, you know, some of these buildings have offices in them and stores on the bottom line, and you live above them,
yep.
and you may never touch the ground if you live in the right
yep,
building.
Yep. You know? Yeah, we just had up in Milwaukee's northwest side a library that was just built on the lower ground level, but all up above. We've got many, many floors of tenants living up there. And now just for those, just another example here in southeast Wisconsin, Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, just within the last 24 hours or so, they talked about putting up this high-rise, yes, a high-rise in Wauwatosa, 350 apartments. I mean, this is not an area known for high-rise buildings, Tom. And this is replicated in places all across the nation. Friends, let's open our phone lines here today. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Your question or brief comments, 800-733-9829. But, Tom, I guess you're assured that there are actually forces working behind the scenes, training activists, training and targeting elected officials, working on the media to really launch an all-out drive to impose this Green New Deal, to impose the Agenda 21, which otherwise labeled Agenda 2030 Agenda, right here on the American people.
Oh, absolutely. And there's one of the organizations called the Sunrise Movement, which is really what's behind Ocasio-Cortez and getting people like her elected. And they've been holding training over the last couple of months through Zoom and that sort of thing, and reaching out and to elected officials to get these policies in place. And as I said, they're using the pandemic tactics to begin to push these things forward. And, of course, the other thing, you notice that when they began to put that emergency legislation together at the very beginning of the pandemic to try to get money and so forth for people who are going to be affected by this, what's the first thing Nancy Pelosi did? She rushed all kinds of Green New Deal plans into that emergency legislation, you know, to put it in place. And things like tuition-free education and money for the Kennedy Center and, you know, things like that, they had nothing to do with emergencies for people to live while this was going on.
Tom DeWeese, our guest, our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Let's go to Wayne in Gregory, South Dakota. You're on the air. Hello, Wayne. Hello, Wayne. Okay, let's go to next caller. Let's go to Star in Marshfield, Wisconsin. You're on the air, Star.
Yes, well, you have people stacked up on each other in these high-rise apartments. So you're going to have the same problem as they have in a lot of motels where they got bed bug infestations and fleas. How about people that are allergic to cats and dogs, but people want to have them in their apartments? So how are you going to separate all this out? There is no freedom then.
Yeah. Absolutely correct. What they'll do with the problems with the cats and dogs, PETA and organizations like that don't want you to have pets because that makes them slaves. And so, you know, that'll take care of that problem right there. But, no, you're absolutely right. And it's just amazing that they keep telling us this whole thing has to be, we have to have this social distancing, and yet all their policies are bringing us all closer together and
right,
making us live on top of each other. So,
Thank you, Star, for the call. We're going now to John. Hi, John. You're on the air.
Good afternoon. I wonder if you could update me on, Greta Thunberg, who seems to be the poster child for, what, you know, global warming.
Yep. Have you heard much from Greta here, Tom?
Not lately. They bring in children like this to, again, everything is designed to tug at our heartstrings, and because they know logic won't work. And these are just the tactics that they use. They'll come up with something else after this. Yeah.
Thank you, John. Let's see. Sarah is next, Menominee Falls.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I had a question regarding Foxconn. If you felt that the contract that they made with them and Lake Michigan and everything involved with that is related to Agenda 21?
I'm sorry, I didn't understand.
Are you familiar with Foxconn, putting up their facilities, factories in different places here in the U.S.?
No, I'm not specifically. I'm not, no.
Mm-hmm. So. Thank you, Sarah. Austin in Albuquerque, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. Well, I'm actually not in Albuquerque. I'm crossing South Dakota, I heard your show, and I just wanted to call in. And it was very interesting to hear, you know, about Agenda 21 and, you know, the whole global warming thing. But I just wanted to point out that, the global conspiracy about global warming has been going on much longer than that. I've seen stuff on the Internet. Westinghouse and GE put out videos that were broadcast at the time. About global warming all the way back in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is part of the global conspiracy. Westinghouse and GE, way back in the 50s, was talking about global warming back then.
Okay, we'll have our guests. We're up against a break, but our guest will comment on the longevity of this agenda and the policies here after the break. Thank you for the call. Back in a minute. You're listening to Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. We now have on video Patricia Kaluers, one of the three founders of the Black Lives Matter movement, declaring, quote, "We are Marxist trained," end quote, as if there was any doubt. Yet sadly, new surveys reveal 63% of Americans respect the Black Lives Matter movement. Did you know that Eric Mann, formerly with the Weather Underground, spent a decade mentoring Patricia Kaluers? Well, what did he stand for? All we have to do is look to the 1974 political manifesto of the Weather Underground to find out. Quote, "Our final goal is the destruction of imperialism, the seizures of power, and the creation of socialism," end quote. By imperialism, he means the free market system. They go on to talk about using racism, Black liberation movement, to seize control of America. Nothing is new under the sun.
The caller said back in the 1950s they were warning about global warming. Well, I can tell you this, as I went to school in the 60s and 70s, Tom, they were talking about global cooling and we're going to have another ice age coming. This has all been around a long time, hasn't it?
It has. And again, as I said earlier, that, you know, when you have a force that wants to rule the world, you know, they've gotten away from sending in armies and breaking things and killing people, and now they're using propaganda and scare tactics, and one day it's we're going to freeze to death, the next day we're going to boil to death. Doesn't matter to them, just whatever works, and, you know, so...
have to keep people afraid, and then we can control them.
Absolutely.
Let's
UN
go.
Has been doing that since day one.
Wayne, we're going to try again in South Dakota.
Thank you. I was calling in. I'm a lifelong farmer, and in my lifetime, I'm 63, I've seen such a change in the means of production from small independent farmers into larger and larger and larger corporate-type farms, and not only like American corporations, but Syngenta is a huge seed company in America that was recently sold out to China. I believe China is also... I think maybe Tom would know this better than me. I believe China owns two of the largest packing companies in America. And, you know, the means of our food production is being taken away from the smaller independent farmers, which was supposed to at one time or were the backbone of America. And now, you know, we're even losing our food production. Hmm. And you know, that just another... cog in the wheel that's spelling destruction for America, yeah. It seems to me.
Thank you, Wayne. You've hit the nail on the head, I'm sure, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've lost thousands of small farmers, and as I mentioned, making it difficult in the cities for people to start a mom-and-pop shop, the same thing is happening to small farmers. And so the reason that it's all going to more of these corporate farms and so forth is because those are the people who come together and play ball with these kind of forces. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association is one of the worst in helping, you know, putting these programs in place. And these corporate farms are the only ones that can afford to put up with all these programs and so forth. So step by step, and of course, what one of the things they're doing, like Tyson's Chicken, will send their chickens to China to be processed and then sent back here. Boy, I really want those. And but this is the kind of thing that's happening, and they are cutting out the American beef industry, the farmers, to create to bring their stuff to market because they are cutting them out and getting it cheaper overseas.
Why are we really doing, as Wayne said, and we're selling ourselves out to communist China, taking over packing plants and seed companies and on?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And one of the things that they are fighting tooth and nail is to get rid of any kind of labeling of the country of origin labeling to tell where it's coming from, because that would absolutely destroy their tactics on this stuff.
Thank you, Wayne. We're going to move to Christy in Rogue River, Oregon. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks, Jim. Tom, I read your book, and I recommend it to anyone. It was such an awesome book, Erase.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, I read it like three times, and usually I'm pretty much just in the Bible, but I could not put that book down over and over. So what they're doing is just what you said, and you wrote it in a fantastic fiction form, but you could pretty much correlate the corporations and the things you were subtly referring to, and it's exactly what's happening. It's exactly what they're doing now, erasing our history and, you know, getting rid of all that so that they can kind of, you know, mm-hmm. it's another part of their rebuilding their new world order, you know. So thank you so much for that book, and thank you, Jim.
Thank you, Christy. Tom, for those who'd like to get that book, Erase?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I wrote this book in 2016 before all this stuff is happening, and it's been compared to Atlas Shrugged in 1984 and other books like that, and to my shock. And it's starting to get a resurgence now because a lot of what we're seeing today is, you know, I was kind of hinting at that, and it's in the story. And it's at AmericanPolicy.org or on Amazon, either place you can buy it, Erase. And it's a political thriller, murder mystery story.
Holly is calling from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hey, I feel for that caller, Wayne. You know, God bless him for his commitment to the land and using that to feed the people of this world.
Mm-hmm.
I actually was calling to say I showed my grandparents today a video of how China uses these social reward badges. Mm-hmm. And how their citizens can be found within 5 minutes anywhere of the mainland of China and mm-hmm. all this, and how they're completely okay with it. And they're like, oh, that'll never happen here, you know.
Yeah.
And with these mask mandates and the way we handle this coronavirus, it won't surprise me to see the Democrats try to promote one-child families due to their kids spreading the virus and can't control your children,
wow.
you know.
Thank you, Holly, for that thought. We're going to get one more caller in, and that's Betsy. Hi, Betsy. You're on the air.
Hi.
Very quickly.
I was thinking about how you get all these people in these little tight apartments.
Mm-hmm.
And now, first of all, when you have a virus like the virus and that's been happening, you get all these kids tight in there with the families to cause more family arguments. There's no green space for the kids to run around on.
Mm.
And that's something that is a big concern.
Yeah. Thank you for raising that. That is a concern, Tom.
Oh, absolutely. As I said, sometimes they never touch the ground, and kids just have no place to go and play. And with these crowds just all packed in there, you're getting more crime. You've got a lot of these gangs and so forth that are popping up. People aren't safe. People are afraid to let their kids go out and play by themselves. And this is the result of it. It is not utopia. It is a hellacious place to live.
Tom, we're just over 30 seconds left. Are you throwing in the towel?
No, absolutely. I am more positive than I've ever been because we have things are happening right now. People are seeing it like we couldn't have told them this for 20 years. Now they're starting to see it for themselves, and we have an opportunity to fight back, and that's why we're going to start doing this training of activists on a local level. Get on our email list on our website at AmericanPolicy.org, and you'll get the information. You can participate.
Again, folks, that website, AmericanPolicy.org. The threat of Agenda 21, is it over? No, folks. It just takes always new forms, new plans, new initiatives to bring about that same end, to seeing that implemented community by community, state by state, and nation by nation around the world. Tom, thank you so much for your dedicated research and informing our listeners on these important issues.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Tom DeWeese from American Policy Center. Again, folks, the website, AmericanPolicy.org. You want to stay informed? Sign up. Get his e-newsletter, his email, and stay informed on those classes upcoming as well. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.